Today's word comes from Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what it is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoers. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what it is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. This is the word of God.
It's good to be back. It's our trip from the East Coast. For a good occasion, my son's graduation last week. He's sick today. You don't get to see the graduated Hudson. Next week, I'm afraid. I thought I was going to start a new series next week, but my wife and I were going to be away for a very unexpected occasion. One of my closest friends in the world, his wife passed away recently, and we're going to be at that memorial. And so, we'll miss you again next week. And but we'll start, you know, our next series the week after that. But today, you know, kind of in between series, I want to share with you a word about Memorial Day. 2 weeks ago, I chose to give a sermon, which I haven't really done before, about Mother's Day. And I thought, you know, about what would be good on this day. Is Memorial Day weekend, and this is the way I want to start. Just a brief intro before we get into the word, which is that I think we here in the Bay Area, we're quite bad at showing honor to people whom we owe honor. Let me just put it simply this way. I'm Korean American, and I was born, you know, in another place, you know, far away. But we came to the United States when I was 5 years old, and I grew up here. So Bay Area is home to me, and but I've also lived in Boston. I've lived in Philadelphia. I've driven across country 3 times. Recently, I took a trip where we drove another 1,500 miles just in the South alone. I've seen this country. I've experienced this country. And one of the things I think it's a really obvious feature about the Bay Area, if you've really spent any time outside of it, is a day like today, this weekend, Memorial Day, we just don't really take it seriously. And a day, you know, this weekend is a day that we're supposed to pause and remember. It's called Memorial Day to remember people who have sacrificed very greatly so that we could live, you know, a safe life. And we're pretty bad at it, I think, here in the Bay Area. And I think there's just a little something about the kind of people we are. It's a beautifully diverse place because people are literally from everywhere, okay? If you've lived in the Bay Area for about 10 or 15 years, you're a native. Welcome. You're about as native as it gets. I mean, I'm pretty native. I grew up here. But the downside of the diversity is that it's a land of strangers. It is a place of strangers. It's a place of loneliness. And people here lack a sense of belonging. Where do I belong? And deeply there's a sense of community. And it particularly shows up in a weekend like this. And so a lot of people came from somewhere else to get something out of the city from me. We're basically consumers. We're not really citizens, we're consumers. Citizens belong to a place. They contribute to a place. They build up a place. They bless their neighbors. They are good people. They are good neighbors. But consumers don't care about their neighbors. Consumers only take, but they don't give. And you know what? I think that's basically what the Bay Area is. We're filled with lonely, selfish consumers. That's what we're like. It shows up on a day like today, this weekend. And so one of the things I want to say is, how can anyone experience and see the light of the glory of God through Jesus in us as a church if we're the kind of just normal Bay Area people that are basically kind of lonely, isolated consumers? And one of the ways that I think we can show we are different is honor, okay? Honor, we learn how to be a citizen, and maybe you're not even an American citizen, but if you know Jesus, you are a citizen of his city, of his kingdom, and your citizenship belongs there, and wherever you have been called, now you're here in the United States. If you are a citizen or not a citizen, you can show the citizenship of the city of God here in a very, very broken, a beautiful but broken city that we call Silicon Valley. So that's what why I want to talk about today, this very important difference of honor, okay? You following me? Let's get into it. Part one, owing honor. Owing honor. Part two, life because others risk death. Okay? That's just a normal feature, basically, of every society. If you are safe, somebody else has to risk very, very lack of safety, including this. Okay? That's part two. Part three, eternal love to present day honor. We're not good at honor, but the gospel can help us get there, okay? So let's go to part one, owing honor. And let me take you, before we go to this first, I want you to hear it, and then I'm going to ask our AV when we get to verse four, I'll let you see it, okay? So just hear this passage. I'm going to just read it out loud again. And it's a strange passage. It's not a popular passage in America because it's basically about talking about our governing authorities. And there's an ethic in the Bible of how citizens of the kingdom of God should treat people who are their governing authorities. Now remember, this is written to the city of Rome. Many of the people, this is a multi-ethnic church. Many of the people in this church, they hate Rome, okay? Rome is an oppressive empire. And Rome killed and murdered some of their friends and family and conquered them. And yet they are here in this city because Rome is rich. Rome is the players. Rome is how we will have civilization today. And this is what it said. And so you, Silicon Valley folks, you're in today's Rome. Today's Rome is America. You may not have a great feeling about America. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. But this is God's word, okay? And I want you to understand this is God's word to everyone everywhere. And so people go, oh, well, you know, they don't know America like we do, and America is a bad, racist country. Well, their empire was much worse, far worse. And yet this is God's word, okay? So just hear this, and then I want to emphasize something when we get to verse 4, okay? Here we go. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. Let me just say a little something about that quickly. In the Bible, God institutes the family, okay, and the state and the church. Those are instituted by God. God didn't institute the NBA, okay? God didn't institute the public school. God didn't institute lots of other things that maybe you and I care about, certain kinds of communities, but those three are from God, the family, the government, right, and the church. and authority in those places, it's actually really remarkable because we live in a country that has secularized the government, and I think there's good reasons for that, okay? So I very much agree with that view in America. But nonetheless, theologically, deeper than our American politics, it says, for there's no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God, okay? Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you'll receive his approval. Now, let's shine it. Verse 4. There's a part in here that I want you to see. For he is God's servant for your good. That is the ruling authority. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. So this is all just a picture of authority. Now, let me just stop for a moment here. Who has a sword in our society? There's about three institutions I can immediately think of. One, the police. Two, the courts. And three, the military. Okay? They all have power. And you fear them, or you should fear them, and rightfully so, because they have power. You know where this power is given from? According to the Bible, it's from God. Now, some people would say, our government is bad, our police are bad, etc. Okay? You know what? Across the history of the world, everybody's version of the governing authorities that have the sword, they've done bad. Okay? No matter how good their governing authorities are, they've generally done bad. And yet, have you ever lived in a place where they don't exist? You ever live in a place where they don't exist? It's absolute horrendous nightmare. Human beings are evil. If you do not have a governing authority that's legitimated, that pushes back according to laws, even though no matter imperfectly, then all you have is mob rule. That gang over there will decide your wife can be the concubine of their leader. And if you don't say it, if you complain, you die by unjust authority. Unjust authority. That's the normal way of the world. So I just want to just say, this is the context of how the Bible sees things. Somehow we live in America, and if you live in a safe place where you are allowed to criticize your government, which is a very, very good thing. It's a very, very good thing. But in our government, somehow we've become these spoiled, rotten, rebellious people that have no gratitude for the important work that they do to keep us safe. That's the thing I want to say, okay? That's the context here. Now, verse 5. So listen. Therefore, one must be in subjection. That means you are under them, rightfully. Therefore, one must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. Why do I emphasize that? Inside your conscience, you should feel, there should be a voice inside of your mind, inside of your heart, that should not so easily curse governing authorities. You should not be quick to hate them, to judge them, and to say they're bad. Now, I know what I'm saying sounds a little nuts. Our politics right now, let's just get a little real. It's a crazy, horrid mess. I think no matter which side you're on, whether you're on the political left or you're on the political right, I think you would agree with me, right? But one of the things I want to say is, let's say you do not like the person who is in a particular office, our mayor, our governor, our president. They're not on your side. They don't agree with your views, You don't like their personality. You don't like their policies. You don't like their philosophy, etc. Okay? But you know what? You should respect their office. You should respect their job. Most of us, you can't do that job. You can't even possibly be qualified to do that job. There are times we elect somebody or put somebody in power, and I just go, this person is not qualified. I sure hope this person gets out of office soon. Okay? And hope people, wiser heads, figure out this person shouldn't be our mayor, this person shouldn't be our police chief, etc. But there is a right way for that to happen, and not just rebellion and hatred. And there's a word for that in our society. It's called civility. Civics means we are citizens, and we treat our neighbors with a respect and a love, and it's called civility. That's the first thing I want to talk about today. You should have a heart of civility. And you know what it says here? From your conscience. This is the Bible. This isn't Susan's political opinions. This isn't some kind of, like, Susan's got this kind of American political philosophy. It's not. It's from the Bible. That's the first thing I want to say. Okay? Let's go to verse 6. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Do you know what ministers? That's an interesting word. When you hear this word minister, you think of somebody like me. But you know what the word minister is? Servant. This is why you also pay taxes. For the authorities are servants of God. God instituted the government. Do you know who? I know there's lots of people in our authorities. They have no clue that they are serving God. But that doesn't mean that they're still not serving God. If you will not serve God, he'll just use you as a tool. The office of police officer or senator or, I don't know, you know, even someone like, even like, you know, maybe the person running the school board, these people are servants of God, okay? And some of them need to be paid. Look, I hate taxes too. I'm your average American. I want taxes to be lower. And when I see my tax bill and if it's high, I go, ugh, okay? But from God, it says it's something that we owe from God, okay? Verse 7, here we go. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed. And here's where I want to sit today. Honor to whom honor is owed. Did you know that you owe honor? There's this thing that we have in America. It's autonomy. The self rules the self. Auto means self. Nomos means rule. I rule myself, nobody rules me. You're crazy, okay? You're under subjection. You're ruled by a mayor. You're ruled by a city council. You're ruled by a governor. You're ruled by senators and representatives and Supreme Court justices and a president. We don't just have one king. We have lots of governing authorities, and they rule over us. We are under rightful subjection. And you know what? We owe them honor. So if you just think, I just rule and run, that is the ideal of the American culture, that you, all these people work so you can be free so that you can have self-rule, but we don't truly rule ourselves, you know? You can never have a community unless all these other people do a very, very important piece of work. So let me just say, I'm not just cherry-picking this. It's a difficult word in the Bible to hear, and some of you are going like, Pastor, you just like telling us all these things we don't want to hear, right? These last few, I was like, gosh, I keep preaching these passages that are hard, but I hope that they're helpful to you. Now, I want to give you another verse. This is Proverbs 3:27. This idea that I'm giving to you, it's actually said so many different ways in the Bible. But just for sake of time, I'll just give you one. Proverbs is a book of wisdom, a lot of punchy, short words. And here's one of them, okay? Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. You owe taxes? You should give taxes. You owe revenue? You should give revenue. Respect? And how about honor? Honor. This is a weekend where we are being called to give honor to those who we owe. We owe honor. Now, let me say a few things about this. If you're in a community, being in a community means you're not just a taker, you're a contributor. And you know what we're contributing? We should be contributing something good, okay? You shouldn't be on social media and spewing terrible lies, like someone says some angry, hateful thing about somebody else, and then we just shoot it off to everybody else, right? You don't know that's true. It's mean and horrible and evil, and then we spew it off. So that's contributing something bad into our culture. Very, very common today, right? But what we should be is contributors to the common good. And I want to just talk particularly about certain people. How about our police officers, our firefighters, you know, teachers? These people all contribute something good. But particularly like our police officers, our firefighters, even our military. We don't see our military, and that's a good thing. For the most part, we don't see them because they're busy defending us and they're not here oppressing us like it is in other countries, okay? But I want to say this weekend, it is a call to remember, Memorial Day, to remember to honor, all right? And honor is a form of love. The highest commandment from God is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then it says a second commandment is like it. It's like there's commandment number one, there's commandment number two, but commandment number two isn't even commandment number two. It's really just a corollary of commandment number one. It's number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then immediately it spills out, love your neighbor. Let me put it a little differently. You know how you show that you love God? By loving your neighbor. Your neighbor is not a person you might have any feelings for. Loving your neighbor is not having good feelings to them. We live in a very, very sentimentalized culture. Love is always a feeling first. It is not in the Bible. Love is about community. And it, in one important way, is you contribute good to our neighbors. And civics, there is a form of heavenly civics. And one of the most important ways that we show love for our neighbors is not about our feelings for them, it is about honor, okay? And so one of the things I want to ask us is that we will contribute to making our city beautiful. This is one of our core values of Revive. You know that? That you are citizens of the city of God, and thus we will love our city the best as like the best citizens that the city can have. And so if you're a citizen of Silicon Valley and you are also a citizen of the city of God, even if you're not an American citizen, let's be like the best Americans we could be. So that the people around us go, wow, I'm so glad they're our neighbors. And they're like, what? You also believe in Jesus? That's interesting. And maybe they can start to see that there's a connection, okay? Let's go to part two. Life because others risk death. And I want to go to this next slide. Do you guys know what this is? Does anyone know why I'm showing this? If you are below a certain age, you might not know, which is crazy to me because that means I'm just old. Apparently, I'm so old. Anybody who immediately knows what I'm talking about here, why this is up there, you're kind of old, okay, which is crazy. So there was a time about 22 years ago when lots of Americans got this hat. You can go to Amazon and buy this, today. But lots of Americans were wearing this hat. Why? Because something happened on September 11th, 2001, which is people who hated America decided to go on a suicide mission and crash 747 into two skyscrapers in New York City. And so you guys know about this, right? Some of you know of it as a historical event. Some of us in this room, we lived in it. My wife and I, we literally were in New York City on September 10th. And if we did not drive out of New York City on the evening of September 10th, we would have been stuck in New York City on 9/11 because of what happened that day. And here's what happened. Those twin towers came down. FDNY stands for Fire Department of New York City. And they ran into the building to save people. They saved a lot of people. But then nobody knew that these like 20,000 plus square feet skyscraper, nobody knew that that would happen, would come just crashing down. It was crazy. The whole world saw it. You've just been watching CNN. I watched it on CNN when it happened. It's absolutely shocking. And firefighters of the Department of New York City, many of them died that day so that others would live. And then suddenly, all of America and the world, America's America. We're the safest country in the world. Nobody will ever attack us, especially on our soil. But that wasn't true. And for some lives to be saved, others had to die. It wasn't even the military. It was the fire department of New York City. And so, a lot of people started to wear this hat. What were they doing wearing this hat? People in California were wearing this hat. People in Kansas were wearing this hat. They don't live in New York. But they were saying, this is our community. You know what? A nation is a community. A state is a community. A city is a community. It is a we. And if other people will not face danger, will not risk death, that community will soon become unsafe. That community will soon become dangerous. That community will soon be overrun. I don't want to sound like I'm getting political here, but this is going to sound political, but please try not to hear it as politics. All in my adult years, I have listened to a set of people basically hate our military, hate our police, hate our government. And I came from a country, I'm Korean American, I came from a country where it was split in half, and one side of the government decided to invade the other side of the government to murder those people and to take them over to become a totalitarian country. And so those folks had to go fight. And guess what? The country I came from, they didn't have enough defenders. So a bunch of other people in other countries sent their defenders. And if that hadn't happened, I would never been born. That's the world. That's how things work. But now I live in California, and it is utterly normal. It's utterly normal for people to just spew horrible things about our government, about the people that protect us, about the people that put their lives on the line. And most every day, I'm used to it because I live in the Bay Area. You can't not be used to it if you live in the Bay Area, okay? I grew up here. Trust me, I'm seriously used to it. But I try to just not be mad about it. But I know stuff in the Bible. And from the Bible, it's dishonorable. It is deeply dishonorable. It is grossly, disgustingly dishonorable. And, you know, that's a tough thing I'm saying here, but it's true. And one of the things I want to say is, on this weekend, I don't know, I'm not very good at celebrating this weekend either. I grew up in the Bay Area. I'm a Bay Area native, most Bay Area people. Memorial Day, that's just a three-day weekend. Thank you. For a national holiday, I get a day off work, and that's beach day or something like that. It's not a day about thinking about this. But it's actually, that's its purpose. So I looked it up because I didn't know, okay? So as your pastor, I'll just do a quick, brief history lesson. The roots of Memorial Day go to 1866 after the Civil War. So the Civil War, in many ways, is the worst war in American history. Why? Because Americans killed Americans. And after it was over, people, they thought there needed to be a day to honor and to mourn. So 1866 is right after the Civil War. And it wasn't a national holiday. It happened here, and there. And that's the way it started. And then after the end of the 1800s, 19th century, people started to think maybe it should be applied to more than just Civil War. And right after, especially World War I and World War II, people started thinking maybe we should apply this to all who have died so we can have a better country. And it actually did not become a national holiday until 1971. It officially became a holiday in 1971. That year is the year actually I was born. I was like, wow, when I read that, I was like, that's when it became a holiday. And I'll give you one more thing that I did not know. I bet you most people in the Bay Area do not know this. I learned this in preparation for the sermon. In the year 2000, Congress passed a law called the National Moment of Remembrance Act. The National Moment of Remembrance Act. This is what our governing authorities asked us to do. At 3 p.m. tomorrow on Memorial Day, 3 p.m. tomorrow on local time, that we would have a moment of silence and remember those who have sacrificed for us. 3 p.m. tomorrow. Is that too much to ask, Revive? Is this a bad law from our government? I don't think it's a bad law. I think it's actually very, very good. It sounds like our governing rulers are actually just asking people to follow Romans chapter 13, 7, give honor to whom honor is due. And as I was growing up, they started this thing called Moment of Silence. Let's just be a little blunt about this. Moment of silence for anybody who believes in God is prayer. That's what it is. It's called moment of silence for anybody who doesn't believe in God because to say, hey, let's pray at this moment, that feels not inclusive of all the people who believe in God. So that's fine. I'm cool with calling it moment of silence. But we do have God. Let's pray and give thanks. And maybe ask the Lord to put something in your mind to see how we can begin to think about and have this gratitude and honor to people around us to whom we owe honor. Okay? So let me just give you a couple more things before we go to part three. Next slide. Anybody know what this is? I did not know this was there. This is called the Korean War Veterans Memorial. It's right next to the Vietnam Memorial. That's a little more famous. It's a wall. The Vietnam Memorial is a wall, and the names of every American that died in that war. And when that war was fresh, people used to go to that wall, find their relative, and the U.S. lost the Vietnam War. And it was considered a shameful war. And people used to go to that wall and see their relative's name and weep there. I'm so glad for that memorial. But I did not know this was there. You know why? They represent the men who died in the hills so that my parents wouldn't have been murdered. And so I could live. And so when I saw this memorial, I was I got really emotional. And I was quite amazed. And I gave thanks for this memorial. And I gave a prayer to the people who died so that I may live, right? I'll give you one more example before we go to part three. So, here's just a little something that happened in our church, which most of you don't know about. So, we have a discipleship training ministry in our church called Life on Life, Mission and Discipleship. And one of your elders, Damon Moon, leads one of those discipleship groups. So when Damon was in my discipleship group and I was discipling him, toward the end of the year, this is what Damon's like. He just invents stuff. He's creative, just like he just rolls out of bed and then creative stuff just comes out of his mouth. That's what he's like, okay? And so he invented this really creative event that we did at the end of the year, which he called Pray for the Bay. And so we go to various different places in the Bay Area that represent different people whom we want to love so that we can be citizens of God in Silicon Valley. So just for example, we have gone to gay neighborhoods and prayed for people who live inside of homosexual identity. Just to give you an idea. Damon, only Damon would think of this. He's gone to venture capitalists and prayed for them. I was going like, why pray for them? They're just a bunch of rich people that do bad to us. Okay, but I was going, okay, all right. These people are powerful. Let's pray for them. And then maybe if we pray for them, God will do good things in them and then to us. This year, he took his discipleship group. And was it donuts? You guys, they bought some treat. And they went into the San Jose Police Department and said, hey, we want to bless you and give you this treat. And they said, can we pray for you? And the police officer that was back there, the sergeant who's the dispatcher or whatever, he said, he heard this. He looked around and said, hey, guys, talking to all the other police, said, this doesn't happen every day. So let's gather around. He told all the other cops to get together. And Damon's discipleship group prayed for the police that day. Johan's in that group. He led them in prayer to honor those who risk death for us. So I just want to give you ways to be, think about maybe how we can be in this place and have this heart from the gospel as citizens of the city of God, okay? Let's close today's message, part three. I want to take you to a passage right before in the previous chapter. It goes like this. Romans chapter 12. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. This is kind of what Christian life should look like, guys. What Christian community should look like. It's just like these punchy things. Doesn't that sound so great? And here's this last one that we here in the Bay Area are terrible at. Outdo one another in showing honor. I put those two in highlights. Let love be genuine. Outdo one another in showing honor. And I want to close my message this way. Here we are, a bunch of lonely, alienated. Do I even belong to America? Do I even like America? I don't even know if I like my city. I just live here. It stresses me out, but I like the weather, okay? That's how a lot of people are here in Silicon Valley. I like the food, I like the weather, and I hate the prices. And America, I don't know, okay? So we're not very good at love be genuine to our neighbors. And we certainly are poor at honor. But I want to say, how can we get there? How? There's power. There's power from God in His gospel. The gospel is the power of God for salvation for those who believe. It's Romans chapter 1 at the beginning of this book. And salvation is not just about, I'll just go to a good place and not end up in the bad place. How about salvation is saving us from our consumerism, saving us from our loneliness, saving us from our selfishness, saving us from dishonor, okay? And I don't know if about you, and you think about those others, some people have died so that we would live. Man, doesn't that sound kind of really familiar? Doesn't that kind of sound like something that we talk about here all the time in church? Someone has died so that we can live. Have you ever thought that Memorial Day is like the gospel? It's strange. They're not our saviors with a capital S, but some have died so we would live. They are our saviors, small s, so we get to live. And today I want to give you a word about our Savior, capital S. And if you would hear that word, hopefully the power of what He has done for you will help you love and honor our Savior's small s. Surely, if you would think about the one who has ultimately died so you can live, you and I can begin to love our neighbors who would risk death, and some have died, so that we could live. So I'm going to read a passage. I'm going to read it twice, and this is the way we'll close. Here's the passage. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died. So we would live. So, I just said it really quickly, but here's what it's basically saying. If someone is really good, maybe, possibly, you might consider dying for them. Who would you be willing to die for if they're good? But that's, you would barely even be willing to do that. You would scarcely die for a righteous person. But Christ died for those who were quite bad. I'm going to say this one more time. I'm going to read it in a little bit more 21st century Bay Area style. And we'll close out the message. Hear the good news. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For while we were still insecure, lonely consumers, at the right time, Christ died for self-centered, selfish people like us. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God showed, He demonstrated, He made it visible, His love for us, that while we were still dishonorable, Christ died for us. He died so that in all our shame and dishonor, He would take all that shame and dishonor, and we who do not deserve it would receive His honor. He died so we would live. Not just today, not just in America, but forever. So, Revive Church, I want to ask you to think about this passage tomorrow, Memorial Day, and think about how we might love those others, or at least pray for, and maybe have a habit somewhere of honoring others who sacrifice for us. Because one who absolutely did not have to do it, we've earned wrath and dishonor. He died so that we would receive his honor. And you know his name. His name is Jesus. Let's pray. How can it be, Lord? Every Sunday is actually a memorial day. And in this church, we preach the gospel that there was a day you went to Calvary and took upon yourself all our dishonor and all the danger.